AM 245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Shiri Preston. Meta CEO Mark Zuckerberg confirming that Facebook caved to pressure from the White House to censor COVID-19 content during the pandemic if it challenged the general consensus of the medical community. Zuckerberg, in a letter to Congress, says he wishes they had pushed back harder at the time. Russia launching a massive missile and drone attack across Ukraine.
Multiple people have been killed or injured in a second night of Russian drone and missile attacks into Ukraine. President Biden has called these attacks outrageous. This is some of the largest that we've seen since this war began. Overnight, Russia launched long-range missiles by air, land, and sea on multiple infrastructure targets across the country, from Lviv to Kyiv, Kharkiv to Odessa. And they've used hypersonic missiles, much more difficult for the Ukrainians to defend against.
ABC's James Longman at the Foreign Desk. Donald Trump hitting the Midwest with 10 weeks left until the election. Kamala Harris out of the public eye since the DNC hits Georgia tomorrow. This is ABC News.
I'm James Kelly with WBZH News. Your news roundup in quick podcast form. Find it anytime on the WBZH website at buzzofthenorth.com.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Wisconsin is dealing with the hottest temperatures of the summer, with the heat index above 105 degrees in Milwaukee yesterday. Phil Beer was helping his son move into his dorm at UWM in the morning.
I just was imagining how much more exhausted everybody's going to be later in the day. I felt very fortunate to have it early on.
The National Weather Service has issued excessive heat warnings and advisories for much of Wisconsin throughout the day and into tonight. The Green Party will stay on November ballots in Wisconsin. The state Supreme Court yesterday rejected a request from the Democratic Party to remove Jill Stein for president. Democrats said the Green Party doesn't qualify to be on the ballot. The Wisconsin Elections Commission rejected the complaint, and Democrats appealed to the Supreme Court. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now, here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WBZH News, I'm James Kelly. The man accused of shooting and killing his stepbrother in Burnett County nearly a year ago has been sentenced to prison. According to a WQOW report, Ashton Heyer agreed to a plea deal and was found guilty on charges of homicide by negligent use of a weapon and being a felon in possession of a weapon. He claimed his stepbrother, Aaron Holmstrom, came after him with a baseball bat before he fired a warning shot, then a second shot that killed Holmstrom. Heyer was sentenced to 7 years in prison on Monday. A brand new jewelry store in Duluth was burglarized just a few weeks after officially opening. According to the Duluth Police Department, the theft from Genero & Co. Jewelry on the 200 block of East Superior Street happened overnight on Wednesday, July 24th. According to a Fox 21 report, law enforcement authorities confirmed that the robbery occurred on Friday, but did not share if any suspects had been identified or if any arrests had been made. Police say the investigation is active and ongoing. And that's what you need to know. For WBZH News, I'm James Kelly.
The Packers add a new quarterback. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Packers traded for Malik Willis, a third-year quarterback, for the Tennessee Titans. In return, the Titans get a seventh-round draft pick next year. Willis on mastering the progressions when learning a new NFL playbook in Green Bay.
You know, progressions are a part of quarterback play wherever you're at, so I just felt like you get to different ones at this level, and you with a new team and new people, so you just got to get used to it.
College football, the Badgers getting ready for their first game of the season Friday when they host Western Michigan. Luke Fickell on what they know about the Broncos.
We know as little as we ever have known, right? I mean, they got a new offensive coordinator, they got a new defensive coordinator, and they got a new special teams coordinator. So what do you know, right? Obviously, the head coach is an offensive guy. What the head coach has done, or is it more of the Walt Bell? And, you know, are they going to be the Louisiana Lafayette where the defensive coordinator came from? I mean, so there's a lot of unknowns. You know, even with transfers and things like that, there's still a lot of unknowns.
That's Badgers head coach Luke Fickell. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
Mostly cloudy with scattered showers and thunderstorms today. Our high 78 this afternoon. The wind out of the north at 5 to 15. A few thunderstorms tonight, 57 tomorrow, partly cloudy, and a bit cooler with a high of 72. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently, it's 69.
The Todd Alba Show.
Co-founder of the Lincoln Project, Rick Wilson.
Trump is now pre-gaming for Republican elections boards at the county and state levels across this country to try to put their thumb on the scale for Trump. And if they don't win on that front, they may resort to violence again, which is why at the Lincoln Project, our goal is not to beat Trump. Our goal is to beat Trump like a rented mule. Our goal is to beat Trump so bad that his bruises have bruises.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
I learned patience from my adoptive dad. All he had to say was,
"Hey, you got this. Just breathe." Hey. Hey, we're pretty good.
Yeah.
Might have to start a band.
I got it.
Learn about adopting a teen from foster care. You can't imagine the reward. Visit AdoptUSKids.org to find out more. This message is brought to you by AdoptUS Kids, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and the Ad Council.
Pete Schwaba.
Dropping by on the next Nightlight is the owner of the Firehouse Comedy Club in Door County, Asher Brooks, and director, producer, musician, and founder of the fabulous website Wisconsinology, Frank Anderson.
Nightlight with Pete Schwaba, weeknights 7 till 9.
You're listening to the Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Up North News Radio.
Hey, what's up now?
Brother, what's up?
This is a big party, man.
Yeah,
brother,
like,
dig it.
Stop right on.
Yeah. Oh, man. My. Good morning and welcome to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. Hey, Sandy, is my head on my shoulders?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, I'm just having trouble this morning,
Yeah. Putting one before two.
Hey, what's hey, good morning, Calvin. How you doing, man?
I'm doing good, Earl. You know, it's very sticky outside, but I think it's going to break tonight, hopefully.
Yeah, it is, man. It's sultry outside.
Cat on a hot tin roof.
Yeah. it's Tuesday. So that means it's Tuesdays with my co-host, Sandy Williams. And Sandy, good morning to you. You were just, where was it at, where you were at in Asana? You were out of the country.
No, I was in Utah.
You're in Utah.
Yeah, and it was hotter than this, but it wasn't as humid.
It was hotter than this?
It was 100, 102, 100, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And
slow walk hot, I call it.
Yeah. And you can tell a difference in the humidity?
Yeah, it was. This is much more like Houston than it is like Phoenix.
Really? Yeah. So Houston, they get a lot of.
Oh, Houston is humid, hot, humid, deadly hot kind of thing.
Well,
yeah, all you have to do is spend a couple of days in Houston in the summer, and you know that you're living in a better place.
You mean where we are?
Yeah.
Oh. Yeah, I guess it's safe to say that. So, you know, I'm just, what am I, Sandy? Fingers attached.
You want me to fill in the blank? No, or else, you know, you don't
fingers,
want me to do that.
Are my fingers attached to my hands?
I think so.
I don't know. Yeah. You know, it's one of those mornings, but I guess we'll get through it with your support and your help. So, Sandy.
It's the blind leading the blind.
Hey, Sandy, I was looking at this article in the Wall Street Journal, of all places. And, not that one. In the Associated Press. And it says, hey, Calvin, you ever play pickleball?
We played it in gym class when I was in high school, but that's the last time.
See, it's been around a while.
Yeah, you played pickleball in high school?
Yep, it was the first time I had ever heard of it. It wasn't really on, like, they weren't doing news stories on it back when I played it in high school.
Wow, that's a long time ago, man.
Yeah, it's going on 8 years now.
Yeah, that is a long time. So pickleball's been around.
It's been around for a while. I have to confess, I bought pickleball paddles and pickleballs and thought that maybe I'd play pickleball, but it really never materialized other than a couple of bonks where you hit it and it makes a bonk noise, And to the point where there are neighborhoods and places where there are pickleball courts where the neighbors get incensed by the noise of the pickleball, and they can't play it after 9 o'clock. So it's, how about that?
Well, so what does the paddle look like?
It looks like a big, heavy ping pong paddle.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Looks just like a ping pong paddle, except a little bigger.
Yeah.
There's a game called platform tennis. It looks a great deal like the platform tennis paddle.
Well,
and it's clearly designed for people who are moving towards geriatric, away from youth. But it's really taken hold, and there are actually professional pickleball players, and you can find it on YouTube, you can find it on TV. John McEnroe played in a pickleball. He had another pro. I can't remember who his partner was, and they play pickleball.
Oh, so Brendan says lazy American tennis.
Yeah.
So does American tennis have a pickleball problem? Upstart Boom looms out of view at the U.S. Open. So, Sandy, I've never played pickleball. One of the reasons why I never played pickleball is I fancy myself, well, not exactly an athlete anymore, but
it seems like it's not very athletic.
Yeah. And, you know, I played racquetball. I still play a little bit from time to time. Never played handball. But racquetball, yes. Tennis, yes.
Mm-hmm.
And part of me says, man, have I fallen that far?
I think you have. I think it's I think it's time. Pickleball actually it requires when it's played well. I was saying before the show, you know, badminton. People think badminton is something that's sort of the same kind of sport, right? For old folks and whatever. Badminton played well, and I think it's even an Olympic sport. Is an immensely difficult sport. The Pakistanis and some of the countries where badminton is big will have 100 shot volleys. And lots of running. You know, the cardiovascular content of good badminton is very high. You have to be a really good athlete. So, you know, maybe pickleball, but pickleball doesn't have that potential.
Well, the thing about badminton is that thing flies up in the air, and it takes a while sometimes for it to come down. It gives you a little time to get around, right?
Yeah,
You know, so, you know, it does float a little bit. I don't think the pickleball...
Pickleball's got a lot of definite rules, too. There's a dead zone near the net. You can't be in there when you stand in there when you're hitting a ball on the fly, at least. It's like ping pong standing on the table in a way.
So, Sandy, only you could explain it. Ping pong standing on the table.
Yeah.
But that's about right.
Yeah.
I know. Let's go to Charles. From Milwaukee. Good morning, teacher. I bet Charles plays pickleball.
Oh, wait, guys. Pickleball is great. So the first time I saw it was at the 2018 American Transplant Games in Salt Lake City, Utah. And I'm like, this looks pretty exciting. So then at the last Transplant Games the ones I just went to in 24 in Birmingham, Alabama, I had my friend Stacy play with my friend Josh, and Stacy had never played it before and did a tutorial the night before, and actually her and Josh won a silver medal at the Transplant Games in Birmingham, Alabama. So God willing, my plan is to play pickleball at the 26 games, wherever they are held in America. It is so much fun. It's like an oversized ping pong. So if you can play ping pong, pickleball would be right up your alley.
Hey, man, that's great news, man. Congratulations.
Although the fact that someone gets a silver medal when they haven't played it before suggests the competition might not have been what it could be there.
Sandy, why would you burst the bubble?
Oh, I know. I'm sorry. Actually, it's become a serious game. And
yeah.
People play it continually and are addicted to it. And I think that the game is reaching younger and younger. I think it started out being sort of the middle-aged and up, and I think actually now it's become a game.
So, Charles, how often do you get out and play pickleball?
So we get out and play at least twice a week. There's a court. They actually have a league. So we don't pay for the league. We go after they're done. But I think it's 8 or 10 courts, and they're full. And you see so many young people coming to play now. It is so much fun. But no, Sandy, the team that they actually lost to were really good. There's a team from California and Nevada. They were together.
Yeah.
And this team was really good. And Josh had played before, so he knew the ins and outs. So he could cover a lot of the court. But it is a lot of fun. It's very competitive. Some people get very, very feisty about it. A lot of older people get very upset and very competitive about it. So
you could do some damage.
I think you should try it out.
You could do some physical damage with those paddles.
Hey, Charles, man, thank you very much, man. Really appreciate it. Thanks for letting us know. You know, Sandy, Brendan says, will we have clay or grass pickleball? Tom, 51 million jobs created since 1989. Dems, 50 million. Oh, okay. Yeah. I thought he was talking about pickleball.
Yeah.
But anyway, Sandy, I will say to you, I can just see myself, you know, sitting back in the easy chair, waiting for the pickleball championship.
To watch it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like I told you, John Mac, I can't remember who his partner was, but McEnroe was playing it. No, it's taken the world and taken the country by storm. I think it's because it's a game that everyone can participate in. And that's one of the problems with tennis. When tennis, you've got to play with someone who's just
pretty athletic.
You're equal. Whatever level you're at, your opponent needs to be the same. If they're much better, it's no fun. If they're worse, it's no fun. So that makes it a bit of a difficult game right there. And pickleball has got a much shorter learning curve. And it's, I think, also one of those games, though, where you can't ever get as good as you might get, so you can keep working on it.
Well, and husband and wife teams can.
Yeah.
I see husbands and wives.
Yeah, mixed doubles in tennis was always a precursor to divorce. But I don't think that's sort of the case.
Come on, man.
Yeah.
You know, it really, pickleball. Sandy, you're convincing me to try pickleball.
I think you need to. I want to get a video.
Sandy, if I...
I'm going to post it.
Listen, Sandy, the guys that I played tennis with who are still playing tennis, see them, 70s, mid-70s, some almost 80 years old, they're still playing tennis. And you think Earl is going to be the first of the guys to go and trade in the rackets for pickleball?
Yeah, I can't counsel you, Earl, but I think it might be time. Well, when was the last time you played tennis? See, it's been a long time.
It's been a while since I played tennis.
There you go.
Right.
You've graduated.
The evil consequences of time.
Yep.
Take you away from the tennis court and push you right on to the pickleball court.
Out, right, can't breathe. Yeah, anyway.
Do any of us escape that?
No.
Oh. Okay.
Well, you can escape it, but the escape is not a good one.
Hey, only in the vernacular of Sandy Williams.
Yeah.
844-967-2789. You know, when we come back, we're going to get into some serious stuff. It's Tuesday. That means Tuesdays with my co-host Sandy Williams and you. We're going to talk about teachers burning out on the job.
Out, brief camp.
This is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
Most of us can agree everyone deserves the right to make their own medical decisions. Politicians should have no say at all. Thankfully, we have leaders like Vice President Kamala Harris who are standing up for our rights to make our own medical decisions and protect abortion rights. As Vice President, Kamala Harris helped lead the administration's efforts to protect abortion rights after the Supreme Court overturned Roe v. Wade. Vice President Harris has worked to defend access to emergency medical care and support the ability to travel for reproductive care. She's fought for access to high-quality, affordable contraception and strengthened reproductive health privacy. Vice President Harris has defended our rights and freedoms against right-wing extremists who want the government to make medical decisions for us. She's a champion for our rights. Visit www.abwt.org/Kamala and tell Vice President Harris, keep fighting for our freedom to make our own medical decisions. Paid for by A Better Wisconsin Together, Inc.
You're listening to WBZH, Hayward's home for the Todd Allball Show.
No trick to get rich quick.
If you dig, dig, dig with a shovel or a pick.
In a mine,
in a mine,
in a mine,
in a mine,
where a million diamonds shine.
We dig, 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 dig from early
morning. All right, welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. Text us at that same number. It's Tuesday. That means Tuesdays with my co-host Sandy Williams. And Sandy,
I don't know how to
explain what that is.
Well, I thought it was going to be hi-ho, hi-ho, and off to work we go. But maybe that was the lead-in, and we didn't get to hi-ho. But
yeah,
the music today is about work, settling down to work, because that's what the next 74 days are going to be all about.
So Sandy, let's this article in the Wall Street Journal this morning, and it talks about, you know, school is getting ready to kick off again, and all over the nation, these schools are having trouble with teachers. The amazing thing about it, Sandy, is during the baby boom era, when we had so many children, there was no problem with having enough teachers. There are a lot less children now than there were during the baby booms, and a lot less teachers. What do you attribute that to?
Well, I think it's what we've done, what society has done to teaching, to teachers. Number one, they've politicized it. Many teachers are living in school districts where school districts have been politicized and are taking on teachers and accusing them of indoctrinating their children, of viewing them as part of a massive kind of conspirational effort to affect children negatively, and that's hurt teachers. You know, that the teachers continue to be these people who give up some income, the potential income, for the purpose of doing a job that they really want to do and love to do and needs to be done. Back in our day, teachers lived in the community with us, in the school districts typically where they taught, and they were highly regarded people. They were revered by the community. They were given a high station in life without the income, but they had high station and got a lot of high regard from the local people and were respected. I think that's turned around now. Plus the fact teachers are asked to do all kinds of paperwork. The job of teaching itself has become much more administrative than it used to be. And so I think it just has led to burnout. Plus the fact many people are teaching in school districts that have changed, okay, where a discipline has become a big problem within the classroom based on what's happened to schools, the number of kids who now go to private schools and not public schools. But the general reputation for the teaching profession has declined materially in society. And I think that's the problem. I've got a son who's a teacher, and he's faced these issues. And I think it's very, it causes burnout at a very young age. People aren't getting out of it what they used to get, the validation that they used to get, the personal satisfaction. And without that, the low income doesn't make any sense.
So is it safe to say in American society, the teachers have been, devalued? Because children are being educated all over the earth, and in many of these other countries are doing better than the students are and the children are in our nation.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, a whole bunch of things have come to play here. I mean, teachers are the subject of lawsuits. Discipline in the classroom has become a very dicey matter. How can you discipline students in the classroom? How do you maintain order? Everyone talks about how order needs to be maintained, but then the law has become such that it's very difficult to toe the line as to exactly what you can do in the classroom in order to maintain order. And teachers are getting second-guessed here. Much of the other places in the world are handling instruction in a different manner and are continuing, I think, to hold teachers in high regard.
You know, teachers in this nation are blamed when the students aren't learning. It's your fault that Earl is not learning, Sandy. You're the reason that Earl is not learning. Never mind all of the other things that Earl has to deal with that affect him not being prepared to learn when he comes to school. I've seen this firsthand. I spent 12 years, volunteering in the district and watching children come not prepared, not in any condition by the time they get to school, Sandy, to learn.
Yeah.
And yet teachers are held accountable for the children not learning. And you constantly hear teachers are complaining about how much money they make. They're freeloaders. They get 2 months off a year. I mean, you've heard this, right?
Oh, that's always been the refrain. My question is, what are you going to do for how many jobs are out there that you can get for 2 months? You know, you can't make it up because you've got 2 months off. It's almost a curse in a way. And as you were describing, teachers don't get paychecks during that period. So if they aren't terribly careful with their paychecks, they end up being between a rock and a hard spot during their 2 months off in the summer. I think we need to re-elevate teaching in our society, and we need to both recognize it with adequate income, and we have to reevaluate how it is that society is dealing with its teachers, and how are we handling the interaction between society and teachers, because that has deteriorated.
I will say this, in my time in the school system, so many special needs children and special needs teachers who have to deal with special needs children of all different kinds of special needs in one classroom. And there are children in classrooms with physical maladies, as well as there are children in classrooms with cognitive maladies.
Yeah.
And yet you got one teacher in there with 20 kids. What do you think the stress level is, Sandy, for that person?
Well, there's a problem in our education system, and the solution to it is not going to be vouchers. Vouchers, in many respects, have been the problem because an insurance pool, an insurance pool needs to have a whole lot of healthy people in it in order for health insurance to be affordable. Schools need to have a whole lot of people in the school system who are actively interested in learning, who are capable of learning, who are coming from households where learning is held in high regard so that the example can be set within the school system. And, that's been lost by the fact of the people vacating the public school system with the assistance of vouchers and moving on.
He found it.
He did find it.
844-967-2789 is the number. It's Tuesday. That means Tuesdays with my co-host Sandy Williams and you on the Earl Ingram Show. Hang on to guys. Hang on.
It's home from work we go. Hi ho, hi ho, hi ho, hi ho, hi ho. It's home from work we go. Hi ho, hi ho,
hi ho, hi ho, hi ho.
The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH. This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Governor Evers and the Department of Natural Resources introduced an update for Wisconsin's clean water standards this month that brings Wisconsin in line with federal rules. Republicans and the governor continue to disagree over who should be responsible for PFAS cleanup. Harmful algae blooms are getting more common. That's according to the Environmental Protection Agency. John Rumpler of Environment America says large factory farms are one of the main reasons.
That volume of manure, whether it's spread on crops or otherwise managed, it just all too often winds its way from the croplands to rivers and lakes and streams.
The EPA is considering updating regulations on waste from slaughterhouses for the first time in 40 years. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now, here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WBZH News, I'm James Kelly. Charges have been filed against a suspect nearly 3 years after a Sawyer County woman was found dead in her home. According to a WQOW report, 2 years ago, 30-year-old Manly Michael McDermott had been named a suspect in the death of his then-girlfriend, Carrie Elkin. On Monday, he was charged with first-degree intentional homicide and being a felon in possession of a firearm. McDermott is currently in a Minnesota prison on weapons charges and will likely be extradited to Wisconsin when he is released next week. A pedestrian was killed in a Washburn County crash on Sunday night. According to the Wisconsin State Patrol, the crash occurred just before 9:30 on Sunday night on Highway 63 near County Road F near Manong. Law enforcement authorities say the 55-year-old driver hit a 28-year-old pedestrian who was standing in the roadway and later died from his injuries. They also say the pedestrian was dressed in dark clothing when he was hit, and they do not believe that alcohol was a factor. The cause of the crash remains under investigation. And that's what you need to know. For WBZH News, I'm James Kelly.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabo. This summer has been all drama at the box office, at least when it comes to returns. After a slow start back in May, things really picked up when Bad Boys Ride or Die hit the big screen, and things escalated from there with Inside Out 2 becoming the highest grossing animated film ever, and Deadpool and Wolverine becoming the highest grossing R-rated movie ever. A huge summer for Disney Studios, especially since Deadpool and Wolverine is not dead. After finishing in second place last week, thanks to the release of Alien Romulus after 2 weeks at the top, Deadpool and Wolverine regained the number one spot at the box office this past weekend after pulling in $18 million. Alien Romulus came in second place with just over $16 million. It Ends With Us, the surprise Blake Lively Channing Tatum hit, came in third place with $12 million. Tatum had two films in the top five this week as Blink Twice came in fourth place with just over $7 million. Faith-based film The Forge finished out the top five with just over $6 million. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabe, weeknights from 7 to 9 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
Mostly cloudy with scattered showers and thunderstorms today. Our high 78 this afternoon. The wind out of the north at 5 to 15. A few thunderstorms tonight, 57 tomorrow, partly cloudy, and a bit cooler with a high of 72. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently it's 69.
How serious is youth vaping? Irreversible lung damage serious? 1 in 10 kids vape serious? Which warrants a serious conversation from a serious parental figure, like yourself? Not the seriously know-it-all sports dad, or the seriously smart podcaster? It requires a serious conversation that is best had by you. No, seriously, the best person to talk to your child about vaping is you. To start the conversation, visit talkaboutvaping.org. Brought to you by the American Lung Association and the Ad Council.
Matt Nair on air.
The hour-long rambling from former President Fruit Loops. I think they keep putting him out there as a distraction. What they don't want us talking about is Project 2025.
If you don't think that Trump has anything to do with this, there are 14 hours of videotape starring former staffers of his, and there's no way he didn't know about this, period.
Matt Nair on air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody, join us next time. Our old friend Luke Mathers stops by for Tuesday Tangents with Luke, what's grinding his gears and more. Be here.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2.
I know that guy's voice.
Wilbur Harrison.
Okay.
He's a blues singer from the 40s and 50s.
Yeah, probably from New Orleans.
Yeah.
You can kind of tell. 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. It's Tuesday. That means Tuesdays with my co-host, Sandy Williams. And so we're talking about education for a couple more moments and the trials and tribulations of, you know, educators and the fact that there's a lack of them in this country, and it's getting smaller and smaller. And, you know, the opportunities, you know, Sandy, with the different districts that have opened up, just pinching more and more.
Well, you know, look at this. The Project 2025 and the Republican platform basically is all about getting rid of the Department of Education at the federal level. And there's this kind of a politicized assault on education and curriculums in education at the local level. And there's this pay structure problem for people who are working in education who are no longer getting the kind of personal validation and personal comfort from the job that they intended to pursue when they decided to go into teaching. They took an income, they sacrificed some income for the purpose of doing something they thought was very important. I thought it was significant that Kamala Harris, in her acceptance speech, mentioned the notion of getting adequate pay for teachers and writing our education process. And so I think it is kind of on the ballot as well, this issue at the national level. But surely we have to do something societally to make sure that teachers get the respect that they should be getting. And what's interesting is the people who are politicizing it probably all were educated in the public school system themselves, or predominantly so. Most of them were pre-voucher, pre-federal support and pre-state support for private education, and pre-homeschooling. The trend towards homeschooling is quite recent. So all of those people found public education, I'm quite sure, to be very adequate for their own personal needs. And now, for some reason, it's under assault.
All right, let's go to Brendan from New Jersey. Good morning to you, Brendan. Thank you very much for the call. You say what?
I just wanted to kind of go conspiracy a little bit and factual on the other side. And the conspiracy, I guess you could call it that, is that Republicans have been trying to pull money out of public education for a long time.
True.
As Sandy mentioned, Project 2025 does just that by destroying the DOE. But the other problem I see, and my wife has a friend who's a retired teacher. My daughter has friends who are in teaching. First thing that's happening that I see, good teachers, because of the problems with kids and cell phones and the lack of attention they're able to pay, are rushing from teaching positions, wanting to get into administrative positions within the school. So they go back to school very quickly and they get degrees and they move on to the administrative. So we're losing good teachers. On top of that, with the pay issue, how many people thought about going into school and college and getting a teaching degree? And have just said, you know what, I need to be able to take care of my family, and I need to be able to get a solid pay for a solid day's work. And lastly, I would say, give the classroom back to the teachers. Get the parents out of the classroom.
Yes.
Okay. Your son or daughter is not a genius. And to the PE teacher, they're not the next greatest sports thing coming along. Let the teachers run the classrooms. When kids come in, let them sit at a desk instead of sitting wherever they want, because this is one of the things that happened. Kids just come in and can sit wherever they want and kind of do whatever they want. We need to get school back to what school was.
Hey, Brendan, I can't disagree with anything you had to say. You were right on point with all of it. Let's go to Cassandra from Middleton. Good morning to you, Cassandra. You say what?
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. You know what? I would like to elaborate on what Brendan said, because he stole my thunder, and the point that he made regarding administrators in the school system is point on. And what I would like for perhaps our elected leaders to consider is requiring administrators to become licensed. They have to have formal credentials other than a master's or a doctorate. Merely having a degree does not mean you are qualified to be a administrator in that particular field. And many of them, they are not well-versed on educational policies, the educational laws, and many of them, sadly, have never taught in a classroom. Many of these administrators, they take classes in college, they transition to graduate school, and then they are hired as administrators at the elementary, high school, and college level. So there has to be some other form of qualification requiring, number one, classroom experience, number two, actual leadership training. And I couldn't agree with Brendan more. It I am an instructor, and I've been teaching for 16 years now, and it is probably one of the most difficult times for me as an instructor, particularly after COVID, because many of the students, they are dealing with, number one, some emotional issues or trauma, I should say, from the lockdown. Number two, many of them did not get the skills that they needed to prepare them for the next level of their education.
Yeah, but Cassandra, you're a college professor, and you're saying that even students who are now in college have suffered because of COVID, and you can see that even on the college level.
Yes, absolutely. We're seeing it. The lack of communication skills, that is one of the big issues that I am having. Students, because of COVID, they did not have that social interaction. So they do not know how to express themselves and problem solve. And many of them, they did not get those skills, which is a life skill that you need to have. So yes, we do have to recognize how COVID and the lockdown has impaired not all, but some of our children. So that's really all I have, and I would I am listening to what other people have to say and what their impressions
are. Hey, Cassandra, thank you very much for the call. Sandy, you know, she pointed out, and she's again on the college level. So,
well, you know, one of the things that the pandemic did was require essentially that everyone get, in a way, homeschooled. And so I think this reflects what might be a societal problem if homeschooling becomes a predominant way of schooling, you know, and many places, and part of Project 2025 is sort of premised on the notion that homeschooling or private schooling is the better option to public schooling. And, I think that the socialization thing is a very important phenomena, part of schooling, and socialization in the broad context of society, which is the very experience you get in public school. Okay, you get to go to school right, with a bunch of people who might not be just like you, and that's the way you're going to live your life when you get out of school as well. So, I think Cassandra's hit on something, which is school needs to prepare you in a bunch of ways, and part of it has to do with communication skills. And we're going to have to fight uphill on that one anyway, because the cell phone and the internet and all of that is kind of destroying the normal forms of interpersonal communication, both writing and true writing skills, because everyone now writes in three words or less, all the concepts and, you know, everything.
Right.
Everything's a posting on something like X, tweeting. And then just interpersonal skills in terms of actually dealing with human beings instead of the virtual human being you're talking to on the computer.
You know, Sandy, before we go back to the phone lines, Brendan also hit on get the parents out of the classroom. Part of this attack on public schools and on teachers was parents at school board meetings raising hell, telling the people inside of the schools, this is what we want. The parents don't know a doggone thing, Sandy, about the education system for the most part. And so they listen to others and they help ramp up this attack and assault on the schools. My mother and father would have never gone to a school board meeting and said, hey, what you're teaching my son is wrong, and I'm going to tell you, and you need to put that up. And so that too, Sandy, so-called protecting my child.
Well, the helicopter phenomenon has become, and it has been for quite a while, and it has affected at least one or two generations of children, because a helicopter parent is protecting their child from the reality of the world. And so,
which they can't do,
which you, in the long run, you ultimately can't accomplish. So I think it's important that, we get back to having children kind of make it on their own in school with their family support at home, like it needs to be. But I do know from, having a son who teaches that helicopter parenting can be a terrible problem for teachers, because you can't deal, it's very hard to deal with all those parents and all their conclusions about how their special child ought to be dealt with.
All right, let's go to Tom from L.A. Good morning to you, Tom. You say what?
Good morning, Earl. Just wanted to say that if anyone hasn't checked out Project 2025, please go to Wikipedia or go to Google and look up Project 2025. Second, I know what I'm doing right now is, like, this morning I was out walking 3 miles and I saw some teachers going into school, and I just said, you know what? Thank you so much for what you do. And I said that Tim Walz is a reminder of what public education is about. So sometimes we forget it. So I just wanted to thank you very much for what you do. And I said that to public school teachers. And then also, I think Cassandra and Brendan are right. What happens is you have principals, or people that go into, you know, the school system, and they're principals, and then the principals move to superintendent.
Yes.
And honestly, it probably needs to be more of a teacher that actually taught in the classroom that moves into those positions of, you know, superintendent, or even now what's happening, I know in Wisconsin what's happening, is you have people in the union, unfortunately, they have no teaching credentials whatsoever. And that's a real problem, because you're getting more and more into that corporate world of, you know, teaching in public schools, or, you know, superintendents that are coming from there rather than coming from the teaching field. I do think it's all part of a big plan. I think Wisconsin's been hit in a major way because of Scott Walker and Act 10. But hopefully things are turning around, and hopefully things are changing. We can't have two school systems. We either have a public school system or a private school system, and public school takes everybody. Thank you.
Hey, Tom, thank you very much for the call. Hang on, Gene. We'll come to you on the other side. You're tuned into the Earl Ingram Show.
Together we will stand.
Listening to the Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Up North News Radio.
When you think about Labor Day and what it means, do you think about Wisconsin? You should, but let's go back to explain. In the mid-1800s, activists pushed for a day to recognize workers' contributions. President Grover Cleveland signed a law in 1894 making the first Monday of every September a national holiday. So where did the first labor union form in Wisconsin? Wausau? Green Bay, Milwaukee? The answer coming up. The Badger State has an impressive history. Bricklayers and carpenters formed unions in the 1840s and were the first to push for workers' compensation and unemployment insurance. Now, did you guess? This all happened first in Milwaukee. The state's labor unions formed in 1847. The National Labor Union didn't form until 1866, 19 years later. Leading the way for other states is this slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
Solidarity forever.
Solidarity forever. Solidarity forever. Because the union makes us strong. All right. Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. Text us at that same number. One of my favorite, all-time favorite songs.
Pete Seeger. He was a union. He was an old union organizer and a folk singer. He became an anti-war singer, protest singer, and during Vietnam, he was phenomenal.
Yeah, well, it brings back, man. It brings back some good old days for me when I was a member of 19806 Union for 34 years, and Solidarity Forever is one of those things. Let's go back to the phone lines and Gene from McClare. Good morning to you, Gene. You say what?
Good morning, fellas. I think I know a little bit about this issue. My grandmother's aunties were all teachers. And when I was a student myself, I experienced teachers, and this was, in the 60s, bringing kids up in front of the class, totally humiliating them, yelling at them how their parents are drunk. Mom runs around, you'll never amount to anything, in front of the whole class. A guy taking a ruler, making people bend over and hit their ankles, and had a handle on the end, just whacked them. Or if they were sitting in their seats, go behind them, kick out the chair so they fall on their back, hit their head. You know, I've seen that. Let's go ahead quite a few years. I saw this crap, and I graduated a year and a half early to start college to help kids because of what I saw, the bullying, the horrible things. And, boy, I got an education. Teachers in our society today and was then, in the 80s and 90s, they are amazing. They are professionals. They work their butts off. They have many bosses. They got the kids. They got the parents. They got the principals. And and they got school boards. Don't forget school boards. Those people go into that profession because they love children. They want children to be successful. And let's not forget the pay fights. I mean, these people work their butts off and they say, oh, well, they get a vacation in the summertime. The heck, they don't. They don't get paid. They get paid for the time that they're in schools. And then, not only that, then when the parents come, and I watch as a school psychologist, counselor, AODA coordinator for school district, working with at-risk kids, besides that, working in a clinic in a different area, working with psychotherapy with kids and parents. So let me tell you, we need change. We need to support these people. They work hard. They love these kids. And, boy, do they have a lot of education. So, please, guys, we need to fight for the teachers and kids' education because kids and teachers deserve better. And parents, butt out unless you were a teacher. And please, give them a little respect. They really have their hands full, and they've been treated badly. So thank you very much, and have a great day.
Hey, Gene, thank you very much for the call. So, Sandy, all the things that we've been talking about, and I wanted us to get this in before because we're going to change the subject at the top of the hour. How do they fix it? Where are you going to get younger people right now who want to go into education? where do you see a bunch of young people lining up saying, hey, and they're in 10th, 11th grade, Calvin, you as well, saying, hey, I want to become a teacher? Why wasn't that something that you even thought about?
Well, it actually was something I thought about. I intended to teach for about a semester in college, and then I decided it wasn't for me. But my younger brother, he is going into his first year teaching fourth grade. He just got a job. So, yeah, I think it's a lot to do with the money. People aren't making enough money for the amount of work it takes to be a teacher.
Is that the reason that you didn't want to become an educator for the most part?
Actually, for the most part, it had to do with I didn't want to have to
deal with all the kids.
Deal with the kids, yeah.
Yeah. So Sandy, again, it's an issue that has to be fixed. It's an issue that has to be taken seriously. And so when are we going to start doing that?
Well, obviously, compensation is going to have to be a part of it. One of the problems for teachers is the cost of housing, you know, with the accrual of great wealth. The wealthy people in this country are bidding the prices of houses up quite a bit. It's getting harder and harder for teachers to live in the community in which they teach. And then a society just has to, we have to rearrange our concept of education. We have to re-elevate it to the highest degree of importance. And we have to re-elevate the profession of teaching to one which is held in highest regard. And those are societal things. How do we change society? It takes leadership. It takes the likes of, I think, Kamala, Tim. I think Tim Walz will go a long way if he gets elected and people can watch him and understand that this was a high school teacher. This is who this person is. That will help elevate, I think, in people's minds, re-elevate the profession of teaching. But it just needs to be depoliticized. We need to stop attacking teachers as being part of the problem, and we have to start lauding them as being the solution.
All right, let's go to David from Mequon quickly. Go ahead, David.
Good morning. You know, there's a lot of things, obviously, that need to be corrected, and I think we all agree that the current way of, you know, projection has been, it's been deplorable. It's been awful. As far as kids within the largest cities in Wisconsin in particular, not just Milwaukee, but Racine, Kenosha, Green Bay, you can just start rattling them off. And it's very frustrating. And I will point out, so you guys were just talking about, you know, the governor of Minnesota, who's now the vice president or nominated as vice president. You know, the state of Minnesota was always regarded as one of the top states as far as education. Under his watch, and I don't know the exact number off the top of my head, but the education factor there has dropped significantly. They've gone down quite a few.
Is that because of him?
The governor of the state, I mean, they funneled more money to education during his term. So it's an interesting coincidence, or at least a correlation.
Hey, David, we got to go. Thank you very much for the call. 844-967-2789, and we'll be talking about some things on the other side.
In our hands is placed a power greater than their hoarded gold, greater than the might of atoms magnified a thousandfold. We can bring to birth a new world from the ashes of the old, for the union makes us strong.
You're listening to The Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Matt Nair on air.
Pat Kreitlow. Wednesday morning, a woman who spoke at the Democratic convention talks about the progress finally being made to remove lead water pipes in Wisconsin.
Up North News with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday mornings starting at 6.
Native American issues are human issues. Join Robert Pilot with Native Roots for their program Awake at their new time of Monday through Friday at 9 p.m. Awake is proudly sponsored by Wisconsin Community Health Representatives.
Covering all the news that affects you with humor and a unique perspective. Matt and Air on Air with Jane Matt and Air. Weekdays 10 till noon on The Buzz of the North, 910 a.m. WBZH, and on the Civic Media app. Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app. This is the Buzz of the North.
WBZH 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward,
and always streaming on the Civic Media app.